This morning's reading is taken from Exodus 17, verses 1 to 7. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and the water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Anna. And thank you for your welcome today. Before we get into God's word, and I've been tasked with still making sure we're continuing with your sermon series from some of the life of Moses and what God was doing amongst his people. But of course, linking that into this special service for Dudley House. And just before we start, and I've forgotten my stick. I'll come and get that. All will be revealed about these in a moment. Just say something on behalf of our family. And first is that thank you. As we give thanks for our time here a number of years ago, but as we moved on from here, we know your prayers for us as we then moved from here to serve God in Tamworth, where we were for just under 8 years there. But we knew folk here were praying for us. We thank God for God's provision and generosity and faithfulness to us while we were here. And again, as a great sign of a church, there are people here we know and there are people we don't know, which means God is bringing in new people, and we know God is doing good things in this place. But particularly for those that knew us from our time here, just a quick update on our family, very briefly. As I say, we retired from Tamworth about 18 months ago and now live in Andover in a sort of Church of England provided house there for us. We went there because we felt there was a vibrant worshipping community that would really bless us and we could be part of as well. And it took a year, not doing anything in terms of with a collar around my neck, but now just beginning to serve in a few ways along with Avril. Our two boys, our eldest James, he married second. He's been married just over a year to a lovely girl from South Africa, Gabby, and they're currently in Great Yarmouth, where she is serving a sort of youth trust there, working among children and youth and families in Galston-on-Sea and Great Yarmouth. And James did a theology degree and a master's down at Trinity College. He'd love to be a discipler in the church, but also needs must. He'd already done an electronic engineering degree, and now he's just teaching maths in a local school. He's just doing some teacher training on the ground. But they're there for at least 3 years, and doing well, aren't they, I think. And Sam, our youngest, he married Emma. Hi. For 6 years, and they're just due their first child in February. We are sort of grandparents in anticipation, but praying for that child. We really give thanks that, They're both going on with God and just seeing God move in their lives. And we're thankful again for God's faithfulness to us. Is there anything else I should say? I'm looking to my wife here, Avril. They live in Farnham in Surrey, which is sort of why we moved to Andover, which is about 45 minutes from Farnham and also not too far from Avril's parents in Bristol, who are still doing well. So that's just a little update. Let's just have a short prayer and we'll get into God's word together. Father, thank you that you are a God who speaks. And we pray now by your Spirit, you will speak into our hearts and lives as individuals, but also to your people as church here in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage we just heard read ends with these words. They're quite searching words. Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? And from our time here, I think I can say out of my heart, you know, the Lord was among all that happened at Dudley House. And what took place there in terms of serving the community as a place of prayer, as a place that was a place of welcome and welcomed the stranger and the outcast and so much. I'll link into that a bit later, but is the Lord among us or not? The cry of the people here is that they were grumbling and they were suggesting to Moses, the Lord isn't among them. He's let them down. He's brought them to this place and there isn't any water to drink and they were having a good old moan. For us who lead churches, there's that interesting phrase in this passage, isn't there? What am I to do with these people? Be very careful here, don't we? But God says, I've put you together. Yeah, sometimes we have a little bit of problem with our leaders. Sometimes we have a little bit of problem with our people. But actually God says, no. You're in partnership with me. You're in partnership with each other. Sometimes you'll rub up. Sometimes you'll fall out a bit. Sometimes you need to correct each other. That's okay. But above all, be about my business. Because I'm for you and not against you. But what we have here is that there are problems. What it's going to do is going to mean, actually, because of the grumbling, because of the moaning, but still in God's purposes, they're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. But God is still teaching his people and shaping his people and shaping his leadership through that time, through the tough times. And I'm sure you know that as individuals and as church. I was talking to somebody last night and they said, we want some connection with Leeds United. Who are you? So here it is. That if you're a Leeds United supporter, if you're in a Leeds United support, you've been in the wilderness for nearly 40 years. And we think we've reached the promised land of the Premiership, but we're still moaning about who's in charge or what have you. Or anyway, that's enough of that. But that was the reality for them. But Deuteronomy 8:3 comments this, because this is what God's about here. As we come to the heart of what we want to learn this morning, he says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert those 40 years. Sort of, it's just beginning at the moment. To humble you. So we need to be humbled. And to test you in order to know what is in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his commands. Because I'm bringing you into a good land. And that is God's purposes always. Sometimes it will be hard. Sometimes we'll be thirsty. Sometimes we don't know where we're being led. Sometimes we will fall out. But God's purpose is to know what's in your heart and mine.
because he's bringing us into a good land. And that good land is in Christ. And that good land, you know, as the water is struck, it is God's provision and presence and power. So, in this situation where people are moaning and they're falling out and they want to go back, they want to go back to captivity, that wasn't better there. It wasn't. God is working his purposes out. And then the Lord says to Moses, walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. It's like four stages there. Walk on ahead. So there's always a place for leadership to lead. But take some people. Leadership is a lonely task for Moses, for Carl, for whoever it may be. But take some people. And I know there are good and faithful people here, and there always have been. And in our time here, we were helped by people who stood with us. Take some people. Then Moses here is commanded, you know, strike the rock. Do things for me in obedience as you sense the Lord is calling, you know. And since we've been here, things have changed because God has led you in a different way. And new things are happening and other things have stopped. And that's okay. Similarly for what's happening at Dudley House that has happened and will happen in the future. God will have new purposes for that place. And it's about stepping out in faith with that wonderful promise where God says to Moses, but he says to you and me, I will stand there before you. God's provision and his presence and his power are seen in just these few verses. And why have you got your stick with you? Who's, hold up your sticks. Okay, just briefly, but have a look around. I've borrowed this from somebody called Chris Rogers, who did a church weekend for us when we were in Tamworth on discipleship. And it is linked to Moses' call back in Exodus 3 and 4, where God gives Moses a staff. And he says then, and if you like, he says now, he says to Moses, what is in your hand? And Chris Rogers was making the point that sometimes we can look at other people and we think, oh, you know, our stick or staff seems a little bit smaller than others, or not as shiny, or not as powerful. But the point is, you know, don't worry about other people's sticks, their gifts, their callings, but what God has placed in you. And if you like, each one of us has a staff, a stick. It's the presence and the provision and the power of God in our lives through Christ and by his Holy Spirit. And if you like, as God says to each one of us, what is in your hand? As he continues to say to those serving in Dudley House now and in the future, what is in your hand? And if you like, God is saying, I'm in your hand. Not that we control God, but that he works in and through us. So You can put your sticks down. You haven't got to hold them up now. But you can take them with you, maybe as a reminder that God has given you good things and gifts and abilities with which he wants you to serve in his church and in his place and in the community. What is in your hand? Because at the heart of our passage, it's commented on in Psalm 95, which is a great psalm of praise. It's known in the church as the Venite. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. And that's what we're doing today and begun to do. It was a great song we started with, a light song. God has done great things, you know. And in our time here, I do want to say, I didn't fully recognise who Rob was describing when he said I was the instigator of all that happened at Dublin, because it was him and Jen and others, you know, had the vision. Yeah, I was part of the leadership here as well and saw it go forward, but actually a lot of other people did a lot of work, but I was part of that. But we were giving thanks for all God has done. You know, we as a family give thanks for what took place there and how it shaped our two boys. And all that Les and Christina pointed, I wasn't able to make. Excuse me, Les's funeral, because I had a funeral on that day. And we know what was put in their lives. Sorry, didn't expect that to happen. But also, what Psalm 95 says is, it makes reference to this passage in Exodus. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me. So the psalmist is praising God, but then saying to the people who are singing God's praises, for goodness sake, in your life, in your church, don't harden your hearts. Don't have the sin of unbelief, where you're saying, is the Lord among us or not? God is with you. God is among you. He's working his purposes out. It doesn't mean we'll always see eye to eye. It doesn't mean that there isn't a place for right disagreement or discussion. But do not harden your hearts, because you will miss out on the grace and the fullness of our God. It was Jackie Pullinger, who I always remember saying, from her amazing work in Hong Kong and the Walled City, you know, a lot of people, they have hard hearts and soft hands. And we need soft hearts and hard hands. And that's definitely what we saw at Dudley House, from all those who serve there. Soft hearts, compassionate hearts, still believing in Christ, still true to the gospel, of course, but open and welcoming, but hard hands who served faithfully. It's a good motto. If God is for us, who can be against us? As part of God's church, as all that God will continue to do through Dudley House in the future and what he has in store, we're on an adventure of faith as individuals and as God's people here, as followers and as church. Will we be people who have
soft hearts and hard hands to serve.
Another way somebody put it that I heard just last week, we need longer tables and lower walls. And sometimes in church, we have shorter tables. Oh, it's only for the exclusive few, and higher walls.
Longer tables and lower walls to share the goodness and the greatness of our God.
Moses, who strikes the rock and water comes forth. Most people will see both in terms of Moses' staff and as he struck, and throughout Moses' time, that staff, a forerunner to the cross of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ nailed on a cross. But the water gushing forth again as a forerunner to the Holy Spirit. And in Corinthians, it reminds us, and we're told, that rock was Christ. Christ was there in the desert. The Spirit was there in the desert. It's a story of God's provision and presence and power. The same God that raised Christ from the grave lives in you and me. The same love that took Christ to the cross lives in you and me. And I know God is doing great things in this community, in the villages, through Dudley House, through what's happening in Staplefield and Hand Cross and Warning Lid, and in Peas Pottage. God says, I will build my church and I'll do it through you and his people. Three questions to leave you with. Are there any areas where we have hardened our hearts, either to God's people and his leadership or to God himself? Then we need to humble ourselves and return to God. Have we hardened our hearts? Secondly, what is in your hand? Give thanks for all that God has given to you and the way he has made you, that you may serve God as he enables you. And thirdly, as individuals, but particularly as God's people in this place, or if you're in another fellowship, that's fine. Where is God calling us to step out in faith? The Lord answered Moses, walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff. And go, and I will stand there before you. Amen.